Welcome to the Gingersburg Podcast. After today's message, take a sec and download the Gingersburg app. It's the best way to find out about and engage with what's happening at Gingersburg. We hope the following message helps you activate your faith and take the next step with your journey with Jesus.
If you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about Jesus today. Hallelujah. The risen Christ. Well, good morning, church. Good to see you out and about. For those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Dennis. I want to thank you for, first of all, just an incredible weekend experience. Last weekend, a few thousand people experienced Easter in Gingersburg, either in person or online. And more importantly, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit was here in this place. Glory to God. So thank you for a great weekend. But here are the good news. Every morning is Easter morning from now on, right? Anybody out there today? That energy from last week in this house is not gone, I pray. Every morning is Easter morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And for that we live the resurrection every single day. So good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to those worshiping online. For those who are worshiping in different states, connecting with us today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Last week was special. This weekend special. Around the country and here in the Miami Valley. And so a few months ago, we decided to shift gears. We had a teaching series in mind that we're going to launch right off after Easter. Actually, next week, we're starting this new series, United in a Divided World. But today, we want to take just a moment, because tomorrow is a major day for our lives, a day that most of us will never forget. All of the countries focused in on the events of Monday, April the 8th, and we are at the heart of it all here in the Miami Valley. Total solar eclipses are rare, at least to us, in experiencing them. They're not really rare, which we'll talk about, but for us to actually be in the path of totality and to experience it is unique. And it's a major cultural event. Officials, I mean, you know this, right? From cities and counties all over the region have been preparing for this day. Friends, companies coming. In fact, some companies already here. Are you ready with open arms to receive those who are coming in? And if you're here today from another place, welcome. We're glad that you are here, and we're glad to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus with you today. So welcome, and welcome to those who will be coming tomorrow to our place. We welcome you with open arms. People are driving in, especially tomorrow, flying in, we've been told, to get into the path of totality, to gain a vantage point to see and to experience. And many, many people, millions actually, will watch the news, they'll watch on television, they'll watch on their laptops, they'll watch online tomorrow to see the cosmic drama unfold. Now, whether you are on the ground or whether you're simply online, tomorrow will be special to see that celestial diamond ring, so to speak. Certainly will be in awe. But even for Jesus followers, it's much more, because we know what's behind it all. We see, in a sense, the finger of God, and for that we say thank you. We already heard from Dom read Psalm 19:1. Let's share this together. The heavens declare, read with me. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. And so let's begin. I'm going to take you to another psalm, the Psalm of David. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to Psalm chapter 8, the poem of David. And I want to read the whole thing to you, or you can look it on your Bible app today, Psalm 8, all the verses. And I'll start with verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, verse 3, check this out. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As a young person growing up in the 70s and 80s, I think when I read that verse, Sandy Patty singing that song, at least one remembers, right? Good, Sarah. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist, King David, at least we attribute it to him, he said, when I consider the heavens, when I consider, say that with me, when I consider, say that, when I consider the works of your fingers, when I consider the moon and the stars, when I consider. So let's just together here consider the majesty, the glory of the universe, of nature. Let's consider just how incredible the world is. As breathtaking as it is to look up in the night sky, especially on a summer night that's cloudless, we look up and we see the stars. We are just awestruck, aren't we? At least I am, about how grand it all is. When I consider, just what the naked eye can see. And yet we realize, as people of our modern age, that what we can see is just very small in comparison to what is. Consider the Milky Way, our galaxy. Consider the fact that we don't fully understand how large it is. In fact, it's been said, in thinking of the scale and size of the Milky Way, that if we could shrink the Milky Way down to the size of North America, so say from Florida to Alaska, and a few here have driven from Ohio to Alaska, and you know it's like a 10 to 12 day journey, so that's how big it is. If we could shrink the Milky Way down to that size, that the Milky Way by scale of what we understand the universe to be, which we don't understand it, would be the size of what could fit in a coffee cup. That small. Consider this. 47 years ago, in 1977, NASA sent up Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 on a probe throughout the Milky Way. Now, these two probes have been moving for 47 years, longer than some of you have been born. 47 years, and still they haven't even come close to reach the edge of the solar system. No way. Yet, in this vast neighborhood, this coffee cup, there are billions of stars. It's been said that engineers today, if they send a beam of light for a command of Voyager. Now remember, it's been traveling for 47 years. How fast does light travel? At the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. It would take 22 hours, or that's what it takes, to reach Voyager today. Incredible. So when we consider the fact that space is something beyond our even wildest imaginations, it all fits within a coffee cup compared to the world in which we know it. It blows our minds. We are sitting, and the Milky Way is one galaxy of maybe billions. Now, I'm out kicking my coverage here. I'm a preacher, not a scientist. Some of you are scientists, so you could tell the story way beyond me. But we are sitting on a speck of dust. Earth is a speck of dust moving around a minor star on the edge of a Milky Way with billions of stars. And if Earth is a speck of dust, then that means I'm a flake of dust. Flaky, I guess they say, right? That didn't come out right, yeah. I'm a nothing. My life is a nanosecond in time of eternity. I'm here today, gone tomorrow, in a sense. It really makes me feel small. It could make a person feel insignificant. Get this. What inspired David in Psalm 8 when he looked at the stars with his naked eye? It was nothing compared to what we know, and we don't even fully. Those who come after us will know even more. I mean, in David's world, he believed in a flat earth with a domed top. They could see out and they said, wow, I'm just small. If when I consider the heavens, when I consider the moon, when I consider the stars. And he was awestruck by it all. How much more, church, should we be? Now, we have a word for those who spend their lives considering. What do we call them? Scientists. Very intelligent people. They spend their time studying the hows, the mechanisms. Now, theologians, like myself, study the, and philosophers, study the whys and the whos, but scientists study the hows, and they do a good job for the knowledge that they have, from measuring nature, measuring the micros, measuring the macros, right? Did you know the inventors of modern science were believers, these great men and later women of faith? Check out one guy who wrote this prayer, one scientist. Great is our God, our Lord. Great is his power. There is no end to his wisdom. Glory him, O sun and moon, for out of him, through him, and him are all things. Who wrote that? None other than Johannes Kepler, who was the discoverer of the laws of planetary motion. In fact, it just wasn't him. Copernicus and Newton and even Galileo, although Galileo had problems with the backwardness of the church, were all people of faith. They believed in a grand architect. They believed in a grand design. Faith wasn't just an add-on to them. Faith actually was an expression of what who they were. And so their work was a matter of faith in discovering how God put all this together. Now, today there are modern scientists who have rejected the faith component. But we need to know, not all, of course, but we need to know where we've come from. Here's an argument of intelligent design that often you will have in a basic college course of philosophy or early theology 101. It's called the teleological argument. Now, I'm going to give it in its simplest form. We could break this all out, and there certainly could be counters to this, but let me just give it to you if you were taking in a very summary of the intelligent design or the teleological argument. Often, one will put forth like a mechanical watch. Do you know what that is? I say that because some of the young people, they look at their Apple Watch like this one and they just see numbers on there, okay? But a mechanical watch has all kinds of detailed components to it. And it's really amazing how it all fits together, how it all works together, how it all comes together, how technical it is, and it works perfectly. Now, as you look at that, imagine this watch. And when you look at the watch, you think, well, someone put that together. There was a watchmaker. There was an intelligent person who put all these parts and pieces and probably had good eyesight to do it, right? Considering how technical the watch is, no one would assume that that watch just showed up one day through a lot of time. Where did the matter come from? It just appeared by random chance. No. How technical it is, how everything works in perfect order together, reveals that there was an intelligent designer, that there was a watchmaker behind at all. Now think about the entire universe, from the smallest particles for the things that we can't see and we don't understand, and the ancients would never know of, that we may know now through science, and to the largest particles like the stars, we see how things all perfectly form together. There's perfect order. And just like the watch, a mechanical watch, points to a watchmaker, the order and design and the perfection of the universe points to a creator. Consider solar eclipses, for example. Although eclipses seem random, they're not as rare as what we think that they are, because we don't always experience. They follow exact patterns. They can be predicted. They can be known in advance. There's perfect order behind them. In fact, there is a total solar eclipse every 18 months on planet Earth. So it may be a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Dennis Miller in Dayton, Ohio, but every 18 months, somewhere on planet Earth, there is a full, total solar eclipse. Sometimes it's in Siberia or in Antarctica at the South Pole. So it goes kind of unreported, but it's there. Partial eclipses happen every few years, and total lunar eclipses happen throughout the year, almost in all parts of the world. Modern science was built upon this thought that there is a God who is not nature, but is outside of nature and transcends, comes in, has created. And what we need to understand as students of history is this was not always the thought. The ancient Greeks did not believe this. The ancient Romans did not believe this. The ancient Egyptians during Moses' time believed that gods were part of nature, that they could be manipulated by certain prayers or by deeds and were unpredictable. But the Judeo-Christian belief came in and said, no, God is a creator, an intelligent designer outside of our world, and he's dependable, that laws will be laws, the laws of science, so you could do experiments because you knew that law wasn't going to change from one day to the next. So we got to be very careful not to conclude, as some, especially on the internet over the last week, and they were here 7 years ago and really anywhere time saying that this is some new sign because God is not pleased and therefore God is bringing some new omen, some new doomsday upon us, and you can find those kind of people. We have known about this predicted path for years, even down to the minute that it's going to hit the Miami Valley and when it's going to hit other parts of North America. It's just already in the divine order of creation. In fact, here is a photo of all the solar eclipses that are taking place in this century alone. There's the path. If you could zoom that, you can't zoom that in from our screen. But here's another shot, the one of North America. So although we're having this now, there's another one coming to Ohio. The next one is in September the 14th, 2099. So be ready for that one. We already know it's going to come. It's going to be in September the 14th, right? Now, we laugh at that, but there are those, perhaps under the sound of my voice, if the Lord tarries, the Lord had come back today, but if the Lord tarries and God gives good health to some of our preschoolers, I was thinking of Maggie Woolridge, John's little daughter, Chelsea's little daughter. She's 4 years old. She will be 79 years old on this day. John and I were talking about today. Wouldn't it be cool if, again, if the Lord tarries, that she is watching the next eclipse and someone tells her about Reverend Miller back, way back in the ages of 2024 that mentioned her in the sermon when she was 4 years old. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, there's a possibility about that, right? When I consider Somebody recently said, shouldn't this be a sign of repentance? I said, absolutely. The fact of the matter is, we should always be a repentant life. We should always be ready. In the first service today, we had the confirmands give their profession. And the first question that I asked them is, do you reject the evil powers of this world and acknowledge the wickedness of this world and repent of your personal sin? If so, say, I do. And so there's a confession. And every day when I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, I give you my life. The world is not about me. It's bigger than me. And I surrender my heart to you. I yield my will to you, Jesus. Take everything out of my life that's not pleasing to you. I turn from everything I know is wrong. And I lay it down at the cross today. And so every day, and even tomorrow when you see the grand design of God's fingerprint, it calls us to repentance. It calls us to humble ourselves that we're not the God of the universe, that this world is bigger. Does that make sense? Than us. Let's go on. As we consider how complex this universe is, Psalm 8 asks you to believe that it wasn't an accident. Now, how it came about, we don't fully know, but who did it, we know. Psalm 8, David says, when I consider your heavens, when I consider your fingers, when I consider the moon and the stars which you have in place. The Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 3 said it was Jesus, the living word. Look at verse 3. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Through who? Through Jesus. When I consider even the Milky Way, I'm amazed. And as I mentioned, I feel a little bit small. Do you? Have you ever felt small? Confession here. Even the preacher feels small sometimes. When I consider, I feel insignificant. Let me show you a photo I took last summer. It was June 29th, 19. See, I'm still living in the past. 2024. I like to say that I'm saying all this just keep you alert and awake. June the 29th, 2023. That's my BMW RT, or it was. I sold it in January and traded it in. But I was on vacation. I was on the island of Newfoundland, the province of Canada, off the mainland. I was there by myself, touring the province. And that morning, it was foggy. It was cold for June. I was the first one in line. Other cars came. I was getting ready to board that ship with my bike to go across the Cabot Strait, 9 hours, 137 miles back to Nova Scotia. And I remember how lonely I felt. The only ones traveling around me mostly were French Canadian tourists. Some spoke English, many did not. And I felt like, you know, I could die out here and nobody would even know. My wife would hear about it later. You ever felt like that? I remember going out into the sea in the Atlantic Ocean, looking around as far as I could see, nothing but water, and I felt so small. Nobody there had heard about Ginsburg Church. Nobody cared about Ginsburg. We think that we're the center of the world. We're not, folks. There are people that don't know we exist and will never know until eternity, right? I felt small. Have you ever felt that way? Whether you're riding in the car, you're all alone, maybe you're traveling, maybe you're listening to this on a podcast, maybe you are at home by yourself today online and you feel like no one knows your name, no one knows your story. Here's the greatness of Psalm 8. Here's why I decided to shift and preach this Sunday on this topic. Here's the whole ball game. Here's what I want you to take home and why we're focusing on this today. David wrote this, considering the glory of God. When I consider, I'm overwhelmed. And yet he goes on. He says, when I consider all these things, yet humans, me, you've got a place for me. When I consider the vastness of the universe, David says, yet you know me. You have a plan for me. You have work for me to do. You've appointed me, he says. When I consider the stars in the sky, you know my name, you know my story, and you want relationship with me. I'm not alone. Now we're going to wrap things up here. We're going to go to a different place, a different kind of eclipse. I want to talk about an eclipse of the heart, pun intended. Some of you are old enough to remember, yeah, we're going there. You want cheese, this is cheese. Anybody older than 50 years old, this is one of those songs that you won't admit that you like, but you like. Anybody younger than 50 years old, talk to grandma. Talk to grandpa, that could be me at 55. Talk to mom and dad, because Bonnie Tyler made it popular. One of the first Welsh singer to make the top 100 Billboard. This was a song when Rachel and I were freshmen in high school at the roller skating ring. They would do the dance. Right, Bill Bartram? You're an 83, 84 grad. I'm 87. This is right in our time. But why ask Emily and Chris, although they're younger, to pull it out? Because I'm serious now. I want you to listen to the words. I want you to listen to what is said. And I want you to connect the dots here, because there's a powerful word here as we close from these words. Listen to this song.
Turn around every now and then. I get a little bit lonely and you never come around. Turn around every now and then. I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of the years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Once upon a time I was falling in love, now I'm only falling apart. Nothing I can do, total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can see, a total eclipse of the heart.
Yes, 80s music fans, we went there today. But here's the reason. Because only a few million in an 8+ billion world, tomorrow on April the 8th, 2024, will stand in the pathway of totality and see a solar eclipse. Every single human who's ever been born, who's ever breathed in the fresh air of a morning, has experienced an eclipse of the heart. Every single one of us, sometime in our lives, have been a little bit lonely, have been a little bit tired, have been a little bit nervous, Every single one of us have experienced a broken heart, or we will someday. Every single one of us. And what I'm saying to you today, while I'm preaching this sermon today, while you're here today, that you are not an accident. What I am saying is that Jesus Christ, the person who set the stars in the sky, John says, how magnificent and marvelous is his name in all the earth. Jesus Christ, the one who has given it all, knows you and loves you and has a plan for your life. And so all we can do is come to him. Tomorrow, when we see the great eclipse and we look around, we're overwhelmed. We see the perfect order. We see all of creation. Let that draw us to the cross. Let us draw us to Jesus, who this God has a plan for each of us if we'll only believe and follow. And so I'm asking you to do a bold thing today. I'm asking you, just like these confirmands today, that you'll say, yes, I choose to believe. I choose Jesus. I choose the one who created me, who knows me, and has a plan for my life, that I am not an accident, that God has a purpose. Amen? Does anybody believe that? Holy Spirit, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We give you glory and praise as your people today. We acknowledge that we are not alone, just cosmic accidents. We live, we eat, we party, and then we die. That we're nothing in this universe. We're a speck in time, a piece of dust. We're more, Lord. There's more to the story, and you're in it. And so today we hold up the white flag. We surrender. We repent. We give our lives to you fully, knowing, Lord, that we are going to spend eternity with you in the heavens. Oh God, today we surrender. You are our King in the kingdom, and we give you the glory and we give you the praise. For we pray it in the name above all names, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. For your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. And if you believe and receive, would you acknowledge that by saying amen today? Amen.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. I've got two invitations for you before you go. First, subscribe to our podcast so it shows up in your feed every week. And if today's message inspired you and you would like more people to hear it, you can give a financial gift through the Ginghamsburg app or online at ginghamsburg.org.